Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in the, I guess, the final non-football Friday. Right, for the next few months. That's good news. Gets you off on the right foot here on a Friday. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller. We're Miller and Condon. We are with you until noon. We appreciate you spending some of that time with us. The BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. Well, it might not be a football Friday technically, but we're going to make it so. Bama Bob will join Trent and I at the bottom of the hour. We've got a fun kind of exercise going to go around the group of the Power Five, our favorite two games in each of those conferences. They might be meaningful. They may not be meaningful. Just two games that you look forward to in all of those conferences, as well as a group of five segment at the end.
Yeah, I went and I would look for, I thought the most important. That's kind of how I did the exercise. The ones that'll have the most importance for
I did a little of both.
Reasons. Yeah.
Did a little of both. Some of them matchup wise big. Others just helmet games or
right.
I'm guessing that when we get to the Pac-12, we'll have one that we both like that probably is not going to mean a lot, but the same one. So that's coming up at 10:30. We will hear from Mitch Holthus. He's in Arizona. He won't be with us live. Now, he will be Monday, but today he's on tape. He continues to take a look at the rookies or the second-year players. Mitch Holthus will join us via recorded piece just before the 11 o'clock hour at 11:05. Tom Cakert, catch up on the Hawkeyes at 11:25. Dave Sproul, catch up on Iowa State. Bruce Feldman at The Athletic, an extensive piece on Iowa State and their playoff chances. And he's in today. If I don't know if you've read it yet. Again, if you're a subscriber to The Athletic and you're a Cyclone fan, you won't want to miss that. If you're waiting for one kind of last little nudge before you pull the trigger and spend the 36 or 48, whatever it is, for the year, maybe that will do it for you. It's a terrific resource, and there's a good piece on Iowa State from Bruce Feldman here today. Claxon's giveaway at 11:45-ish to wrap up our week before we send you off into, well, lunch hour, and then wait an hour until Murph and Andy. So this is it. This is your last Friday night off for September, October, and three in November?
Yeah, 13 weeks of high school football. It'll kick off over down the hall from us on 96.9.
So here, let's kind of give the lay of the land.
Yes.
Here. So on KXNO, on both 1460 and 106.3, Joe Stacy and company will do their scoreboard show, Football Friday Night. Meanwhile, you will have play-by-play, but you are on the Bull.
Yes, 96.9 on your FM dial. You can find it on the iHeartRadio app. We will have the call every Friday night of the best football game out there, at least for the most part, coming up on paper. And week one, I know a lot of people are pumped up for Dowling Southeast Polk. That'll be a great one, but
yes, it will.
Logistically, I know WHO 13 is going to be out there. Keith will be on the call for the TV side.
You know, I'm anxious to see how that goes. I think it's going to be, now, no offense to radio, you know where my heart lies, but at the same time, Sir and C and Keith that did, what, one or two games last year? And it was good.
Mm-hmm.
They did a nice job, and they're not doing every week, but they're doing
right. Five, I think.
I think that's what it is.
Yep.
So where will you be since you can't be there?
Well, yeah, not a whole lot of room at Southeast Polk, and
yet.
The new stadium, Graphite Construction Group's putting together, that thing is going to be incredible. But when we get to that point, we'll have the Trent Condon Wing, hopefully, and the press box up there. I'm going to make my way to Valley as the brand new school, Waukee Northwest, will play their first varsity football game. It will be the Wolves versus the Tigers, Northwest against Valley.
What kind of team will Swenson have this year?
Down a little bit. A lot of question marks. Of course, they had all the skill positions. Last year, though, it was the offensive line concerns that they had. Mm-hmm. Now, four of those five guys are back. Mm. So the offensive line's in pretty good shape. But I think a step down, what certainly they were preseason number one last year, and right. It was because of the skill position players. We saw that wasn't the case because of the offensive line. They'll be Gary Swenson-like, but they're definitely down a tier from kind of everybody else. Southeast Polk, mm-hmm. Ankeny, Dowling, those are the cream of the crop certainly this year.
We ask this question every year and have for, oh gosh, decades. Is this the final year for Jerry Pezzetti?
If he gets the record, probably.
What does he need?
I want to say it's four off the top of my head.
Can the Jags get that?
It's going to be tight.
Yeah.
Going to be tight to get to that mark, to get to
even
four.
Well, then I hope he comes
five.
Back another year before and gets it. Think of how many kids he's coached.
Oh, it
started in the 60s, for crying out loud. I mean, not at Ankeny, obviously, but
thousands?
Started his career in the 60s.
Thousands
yes.
of kids.
How many grad parties has he gone to
right?
over the
years?
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really and truly is. Well, rooting for Coach Pezzetti, good people. Him, his wife, Margaret, of course, his son, Ryan, and their family, and his daughter as well, rooting for them. So you'll be busy on Friday nights
yep.
now for the next,
13 weeks all the way through the Unidome and the championship. And
that'll be on 96.9 The Bull as well?
Yes, that yep. is the plan. We'll see. When we get to that point, we have a lot here on KXNO because mm-hmm. of that. If you're also an HD on your car radio, you can also catch it there. That is KXNO HD2. There's a KXNO connection
wow.
with the HD radio. So a lot of different ways to find it. Also teaming up with Pete Tarpey and CISN TV. Mm-hmm. We'll also have video call of all the games throughout the regular season. So you can catch that. Just go to YouTube, CISN TV, Central Iowa Sports Network, and you can hear my call along with the video that goes along with it.
Good stuff. Well, you'll be busy and you're good at it and you're passionate about it. And we look forward to catching some of those nights. So Joe Stacy can't make week number one, right?
Because they have the playoffs.
Barnstormers made the playoffs. So
yeah.
Stacy's going to be, who normally would be in this chair, there'll mm-hmm. be somebody else at least for week number one. Well, they'll sort it out and they'll do a fine job
mm-hmm.
as they always do. High school sports matter in the market, and we will bring them to you as we can. All right, so we're going to get into some of the point spreads coming up here that you found. I think it was Elite Sports Books that put out the Iowa and the Iowa State lines. We'll get into that here coming up. I want to spend just a minute or so on last night's preseason game. And I know that they're, for the most part, two teams, Trent, that don't move the needle, the Eagles and the Patriots. I mean, they're not one of the big four. Well, did you watch much of it, by the way?
I did. So I watched basically the first half.
Okay, good.
On the replay at 10 o'clock.
Right. So what was your takeaway?
Cam Newton looked good.
He did. What else was your takeaway?
Eagles stink.
Yeah, that's a good one. What do you think of Mac Jones? See, I thought he was okay.
He was okay.
I thought he was, he's going to play this year.
I think so, too.
I think he's going to play this year. Now, you mentioned it, and you're right. That was the best Cam Newton's looked in a long, long time. I get it was preseason,
mm-hmm.
but Cam Newton was awful last year.
And the throws that he was making were darts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked so much about his shoulder injury
right.
and how limited.
Yeah, he doesn't throw it the way he used to.
Right. The motion is, it's wonky.
Yes.
It's goofy.
It's kind of Philip Rivers-like.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good comp.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks different
yep.
coming out. But the velocity was mm-hmm. certainly there. They had a stat on SportsCenter last night. Game one for Cam Newton. His total air yards, basically how far up the field each pass went, was under a yard. This one, it was over seven. That's a big-time number. Another one of those kind of advanced numbers. But it was dink and dunk in game one. Took some shots up the field.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those crossers that he had a little touch on it too, along with the velocity. I really liked what I saw out of Cam Newton. And is there a chance? Comeback player of the year?
Well,
get them to the
yeah.
playoffs?
I mean, he's going to be, if he does get them to the playoffs and is able to answer the bell in all of the games, then yeah, absolutely, based on his body of work last year. All right, there is a little news that affects you because I know you're such a Jeopardy fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what happened this morning?
Did they?
Richards. Out.
Good. Good. I'm very happy
about
that.
So he was the producer.
He was.
Who brought all these guest hosts in
mm-hmm.
and orchestrated the whole tryouts, if you will, and then gave the job to himself?
Yes.
Essentially?
For all intents and purposes. The other thing I found interesting, The Ringer, who one of the writers over there just wrote a book about Jeopardy, so she knows everybody
mm-hmm.
involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the article said that when they sent it off to people that were watching to see, oh, who did you like, those kind of things. Well, Mike Richards was able to pick and choose. So his best shows, those are the ones he sent off. Aaron Rodgers' worst show, Maybe that's the one that he sent off to the focus group to see, who did you like? Who did you think did the best job? He's in charge
of this. Well, I kind
of
get that. I mean, we didn't send our show in from, remember, October the 19th last year? Right. That's not the one that showed up in the Marconi, I'm guessing.
Right, but we're not choosing the Marconi. Yeah. And that's what this would be.
Fair.
If we were choosing the Marconi, yeah, it'd be a little bit different, right?
Right.
Yeah. He's choosing, ultimately, who gets the job. He gave the job to himself, and now he is
out. And you know what's behind this, right? They went back and is like everybody, right? If you said something years ago, there's a chance if it was said on social media or somebody's captured it, it may come back to bite you in today's different world. And whether it was right or wrong at the time that you said it, it doesn't matter because we're in 2021 now. And this was what's the downfall of Mike Richards. I guess he said some stuff on a podcast. Oh, I don't know.
Some sexist comments.
Was that what they were? And they were apparently were going to come back to bite him. And he wanted to, you know, just get not make that a distraction. So are they going to open this up again and start all over?
I would wonder if Mia Bialik just gets the full-time gig, who they had planned on doing some primetime shows with her and kind of expand that universe. We saw the Tournament of Champions, the great group, the three that they had, that week tournament that they had that was on primetime. They're looking to do more of that. They just hand her the role since she, quote unquote, already kind of has a part of it. Joe Buck, I thought was excellent.
Did you?
But he is so divisive. My wife hates him.
I don't care.
One of my best friends from high school, she hates him. She had a thing on Facebook, just can't watch Jeopardy this week. Well, there are so many people like that. Nor do I. Are we in the minority, though?
That like Joe Buck?
Right.
Well, I don't know about the Jeopardy host. I never heard him. But if he got that gig and prevented him from doing MLB or NFL, I'd be pissed off.
That won't happen.
He's the best in the business. And it's not even close, in my opinion.
He did a podcast this week with Jimmy Traina from Sports Illustrated, the media podcast, and he talked a little bit about that. I thought Joe Buck, now looking back upon it, I thought he was the best. He was the best of all the guest hosts that he had.
Well, he's such a pro.
He is.
He was polished.
He was funny. He was engaging. He was comfortable in the role, and that wasn't always the case with a lot of these different people. So we'll see. Back to the drawing board. They're still supposed to start taping, I think, next Thursday for next season.
Well, I thought it was today. He said we canceled production today.
Oh, really?
Well, now it might have been canceled production today in advance of next week.
Right, yeah.
So, I guess Aaron Rodgers did a radio interview, a national radio interview. I saw the guy who did it. I can't remember his name. Maybe it'll come to me, whether it does or whether it doesn't. But he asked Aaron Rodgers about Jeopardy. And if you would have got the Jeopardy gig, would you have played this year? Rodgers said he wouldn't have.
Oh, really?
He would have done Jeopardy.
Wow.
What was the guy's name? Anyways, that was taped, apparently, before the news of Mike Richards today. Well, I knew that would move your needle.
Yes.
You know what else moves your needle? Betting on sports.
Oh, yes, it does.
And you found...
You know my hot spots.
Yes. Well, we've been together a while
now.
Yes. You found the point spread for every Iowa and every Iowa State game, save one, you and I, which normally isn't posted. Now there will be a number at some point.
Yep.
One of the books, I'm assuming, will put something up to get some action and hope that they get 50-50 split action on both sides and don't have to worry. So Elite Sportsbook is back doing what they did last year.
Yep.
Let's get them in front of us. And the one that jumps off the page to begin with, and I do want to actually go a little bit off the border, out of line, and bring up Cy-Hawk because that's the needle mover in the state. It's up to 7.5 at Elite?
And it's 7.5, and these numbers have just been posted. It's recently, because I looked at one point last week. I don't remember exactly when to see, and there wasn't anything up there. I was a little bit surprised because I remember last summer, they had these numbers early.
Yes.
Yeah, it was June, maybe July.
I wonder if they got beat up.
I know I beat them up.
Did you? You got him?
I did. I think I did 5 games in the preseason, hit all 5. It was a really good one, those preseason numbers. And I see some here that I really, really like too. But let's start with Cy-Hawk. We've seen it 4.5, 5, 5.5.
What did Chris Andrews at South Point? Did he start at 7?
Started at 7, moved to 6.5 very quickly, and he's been steady there. But that's as high as we've seen.
Until today, or yesterday.
So Elite Sportsbook, out of Riverside, just south of Iowa City. Also have Quad Cities location 1 and way up in northwest Iowa.
But you can sit in your basement in Waukee or wherever you are and sign up.
But for what I know, I don't know many people around here that have an Elite Sportsbook account. I know plenty of people, though, in eastern Iowa that do. And this is where
Cake shop's there, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Yep. A couple of my tailgate buddies do. And that's why this was so surprising, because for all intents and purposes, this is an easy Eastern Iowa-based sports book.
Right.
And they have the biggest number, the Hawkeyes getting the most points. That was the surprise to me. If this would have been DraftKings through Wild Rose, through Jefferson, okay, a lot more Starry County money, a lot more Polk County money, that would make sense. But for it to happen in this one, that's what came as a big surprise to me. Seven and the hook.
Yeah. Boy, that makes it, that half makes it so tricky, that number. Okay, well, let's start. So Indiana's a four-point favorite over Iowa. I think that this
Iowa's favored by four.
I beg your pardon. I was favored by four. I think that's a really tricky game. I have no opinion. Do you?
No. I like Iowa.
Do you?
I lean towards Iowa.
Yeah, so you'd lay the points in that one?
Yep. I think Iowa's defense matches up well with what Indiana tries to do offensively.
See, I'd look at it completely differently. I mean, I agree with you at your point, but my biggest takeaway was based on last week with the media saw Spencer Petras. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not going to be all gloom and doom.
Right. Offense looked better than the defense.
Way better than the defense.
Never happens at Kids Day, yet it happened this year.
Which leads me to week number two, which is the Cy-Hawk game. And I kind of had the opinion most of the offseason that Iowa State was going to march.
Yeah,
I thought that they were going to have their way with the Hawks. And when I say that, I mean win comfortably. Mm-hmm. Not blow them out by three touchdowns, but win comfortably.
27-17.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. But cover easily, and you know, the game's not in doubt at the end. But Spencer Petras.
Right. Right? It changes the equation, this whole
Iowa
football team.
It's the most important position in all of sports. And that was everybody's question mark when it came to the Hawks. Now, if that was a mirage, well, we'll find out when they host Indiana in 2 weeks.
I like the chance there, the 7.5 number.
It's a lot of points, Trent. If it was 6.5, I'd probably still take Iowa State at 7.5.
I go the other way. If you can find a 4.5, you got a middling opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State wins the game by 5, 6, or 7, you're a double winner.
Yep.
That is something that I will be shopping around for and see if one of those 4.5s are still available, because I think it's going to be that type of game. And if Iowa State wins it, 31-21, not going to be falling on the ground shocked.
No,
That's the result here. But you get it at 7, Iowa gets a late field goal, tries the onside, doesn't get it. Hey, you win both sides of the bet, 31-24-5.
The other two non-con games, Kent State gets 18.5, Colorado State 16.5. I don't know much about either of them.
Kent State really fast offensively, has pretty much everybody offensively back, including their quarterback, who is incredibly dynamic. One of the worst defenses, though, in the country. Not a big opinion. Colorado State's terrible, though.
Yes, they are.
I am jumping on Iowa right there, laying the 16.5 against the Rams.
All right, Friday night, Iowa goes to Maryland on a Friday night. It's 12.5. The Hawks got to give 12.5 on the road. Look, there's no home field advantage.
Sure.
That's a lot of points against a Big Ten school. I mean, I don't think Maryland's going to be that good, but two touchdowns, essentially?
To his little brother? Offense that made big strides a year ago?
Huge strides.
It's too many points.
I think so, too.
Give me the Terps.
Penn State gets 1.5 as they come to Kinnick Stadium. I love this game.
Yes.
I love this game. This is on my bottom of the hour piece we're going to do. I just love Penn State, Iowa. Well, I mean, I prefer the game when it's in Happy Valley and it's night and it's raining. Right?
But, I preferred that experience too.
Sure.
It was a good one.
But at Kinnick, and hopefully this game is under the lights. I don't know.
Not a strong opinion either way.
I'm with you.
Penn State's kind of a wait and see team.
Yep.
See what they do against the Badgers week one.
Purdue gets 11.5.
Too many. Purdue.
Okay.
They
saw what happened week
up.
One last year.
David Bell's still around. Brom knows how to scheme against Iowa.
And
maybe not against anybody else.
True.
But he does it against Iowa.
There's a little pressure on Brom this year.
Oh, yes,
I think.
Absolutely.
The Hawks get 4.5 in Madison. What's Graham Mertz going to be like?
Yeah. Not a strong opinion.
Mm-mm.
I might grab the points here, though, if I had to.
All right. They stay out on the road and they go to Northwestern. It's a touchdown. Northwestern's not going to be very good, we don't think.
They're either going to lose a stupid game or they're going to blow them out.
Yeah.
That's what Iowa does against Northwestern. They either throttle them or they get beat in a game. How
Clemson
did they lose
transfer
that
got
game?
The job, right? A quarterback? I think
you
did. Yeah.
I saw that the other day. Yuck.
Yeah. Minnesota gets 5.5 as they come to Iowa.
Phil Fleck, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Had to make a bet, lean Iowa, but...
Yeah. What kind of year Tanner Morgan going to have?
Right.
Abraham is a star. Defensively.
Great offensive line.
Great offensive, big offensive line.
And deep.
A Sunday big offensive line.
Yes.
Defensive line, though?
Yuck.
Some question marks.
Yes.
Then Bielema as they come to Kinnick Stadium. Gets 12.5.
So, again, this is a property that also has a big base in the Quad Cities. You can find right now at DraftKings, Illinois getting 20.5. It opened at 21.5. Here, it's 12.5. Back to those middling opportunities here.
Jesus.
Shop around. My betting friends, shop around. You're going to have big opportunities here, including this one, where you're going through key numbers
is
of 13,
still?
14, 17, and 20 to
get. That's a great point. That's five key numbers.
You're getting through. Bet both sides, whatever your betting denomination is. If it's $10, if it's $20, if it's $100, or even more, bet both sides of that one. You get a point spread with that much difference with two books based here. Jump aboard with that.
And then we go to Black Friday, where Nebraska could be playing for their bowl lives, and Iowa could have a lot to play for as well. And Scott Frost might be playing for his coaching life in Lincoln. Boy, there's some rumors out there about him, depending where you look. And Iowa gives 1.5 to Nebraska. We know this series gone is usually a close game, but what's Nebraska? Where's Nebraska at when they host this game?
Playing for a bowl game.
Playing
and they
for
win
a bowl
it.
Game?
Give me Nebraska right now.
Really?
Nebraska ends the streak. They get it done. They get to 6-6, and Frosty the coach man survives for another year.
Let's go to Iowa State. We told you there's no point spread yet on UNI. We know about the Cyhawks.
What about the guess? You got a guess for UNI when that number comes out?
Yeah, 21 and something.
21, three touchdowns ish.
Three touchdowns.
Maybe even a tick higher.
Maybe 21, 22.5, 23.
Yeah, right in that range. Kind of where I is. It'll be a big number. Preseason top 10 team against a UNI team. Has some question marks coming into the
year. Yeah, absolutely. Iowa State, UNLV, four touchdowns, 27.5. Like, I think they're going to, I think if they get an opportunity, because there's going to be more Iowa State fans there than Run and Rev fans in the building.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a home game. Fan base is going to be absolutely jacked and absolutely hammered because they'll have had all day to get lubed up in advance of this when it's a 9:30 Central time kickoff, for crying out loud.
Get the Bush Light ready, Vegas.
Oh, my. It's a lot of points. The following week, 10.5 at Baylor's, we get into Big 12 play.
Baylor gave him a run last year. I think you can argue should have won that game.
It could, if it would have, should have. Yeah, they had the chances for sure.
10.5. We'll see with Aranda year two. Questions at the quarterback position.
Big question. With Brewers in Utah.
Yeah, who I really like the Utes this year. Lean Iowa State.
Kansas comes to Iowa State. They get 32.5 points for their trouble.
Not enough. Give me the Cyclones again.
Wow, 32.5. Iowa State is favored by 32.5 in a conference game. They're favored at K-State by 12.5. That seems like a lot of points. This one, to me, has close game written all over it.
Is Skyler healthy?
That's the question.
It's as simple as that. If he is, give me K-State in the 12.5. If he's not, I'll lay 17.5. Because Kansas State without him, that's a bad
football team. It's a different football team. You're right. Oklahoma State gets a touchdown as they come to Ames.
Too many. Gundy.
That game's always close. I mean,
Gundy has Matt Campbell's number. We talk about, obviously, Ferentz a lot here. Gundy, really in the same kind of breath here. I'm going to take Oklahoma State in the touchdown.
I think I would, too. I think that's a close game. Now, then they get on the plane. They go to West Virginia, and they're a 7.5-point favorite.
Do you have a feeling about West Virginia? Neil Brown, year three?
You know, Trent, it's I'm back and forth.
Daggy sometimes.
Yeah, no, I like him.
He can't move, though.
No. I mean,
he is a statue.
Yeah. It depends. You know, one day I think they might be the team that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, no, that's not the team. The team is Texas. I'm still convinced where it's Texas. And Texas gets 4.5 in Ames.
The opening lines that came out earlier this summer, I found these way back in June at FanDuel. 10.5 is what Texas was getting at that point. I jumped on that right away in this game. Here at Elite Sportsbook, it's 4.5. Lean Iowa State.
Right. Here's one that surprised me. Then I realized why it is. Iowa State only gives 4.5 points when they go to Lubbock. But it's the proverbial sandwich. Texas the week before, Oklahoma the week after. Therein lies the tight point spread. I mean, Iowa State's a better football team.
By a lot.
4.5?
Yeah.
I think you know what? I'd still sandwich manwich. Give me the Clones.
Going Iowa State.
I think I would.
They're the better team.
They give almost two touchdowns to Oklahoma. 13.5. That's a huge number. Oklahoma, they split the series last year. That's a big number, Trent. And Campbell's, he doesn't fear Oklahoma.
No, the program doesn't.
Right.
They played so well against Oklahoma, that's an automatic. Jump on the Cyclones.
That's too many points. Yes. I totally agree with you. And then to wrap things up, TCU, who is, I think, the consensus when you ask people who's that, if it's not Iowa State, if it's not Oklahoma, yes, we said that sentence. who is it? Well, the consensus is it's TCU, and TCU gets 8.5 as they come on Thanksgiving weekend to chilly, windy, nippy Ames.
Max Duggan's played in that weather. He'll be okay.
He's an Iowa kid after all, is
yes.
he not?
I love TCU this year. I'm one of those people. I believe TCU is going to be playing for a conference championship. Mm-hmm. I'll grab the 8.5.
Who are they playing against?
Oklahoma.
Okay. So this game potentially
very well could, yes. I believe it will.
Yeah.
I believe there's a chance that this comes down to winner goes on.
Honestly, I hope you're right. I hope your scenario's bang on that weekend, because that game's a Friday too, is it not?
It is, yes.
Right? That Black Friday in Ames is for the right to play for a Big 12 championship. Could you imagine? Bama Bob next. More college football conversation. We are, after all, in the mood, are we not? It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.
The 2nd Avenue in Des Moines.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Well, just in time for football in Lexington. Six members of the Kentucky football program charged with first-degree burglary.
Ooh.
Ay, 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 ay. Let's get Bama Bob in here. Bama, good to speak with you as always. You will be with us, well, every Friday now for the next 3 or whatever 4 months, and we're grateful for that. So here's what I want to do with both of you guys. If you're game, we have no choice. This is what we're doing. We're going to ask you... your two favorite games in each of the five power conferences, and then we'll just group all the group of five conferences together. They can be because it's the most important game. It can be a classic rivalry. It can be whatever. These are your favorite games in each of these particular conferences. So you know where we're going? Everybody on board?
Yes, I got it. And this year... can we not start with the ACC every single time? I know you love going alphabetically.
I agree.
But let's stop with the ACC.
All right, good call, Trent Condon. Let's start in the Big 12. We'll go with you first, Trent. Your two favorite games in the Big 12 this year, and why?
I'm going to start October 2nd. I got these in order of how they come in the calendar also. October 2nd, TCU, who, as we just talked about, I really like this year, going to Texas. We've heard a lot of back and forth. Texas always looking down their nose at TCU. It was a wild game a year ago. I think it's got a chance to be a really good one here. October 2nd, in talking about maybe getting into a championship game, this one could have some importance here. TCU at Texas.
That's a good one. What's your second one?
It's the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. Yep. I think we'll all have this on the list. Preseason number one, preseason number two. Iowa State in Norman, second to last week of the year.
Bama, your two favorite games in the Big 12 looking forward to the most are what?
I'm just going with the two Iowa State games. I'm going, and I hate to do it so late in the year, but I mean, I'm with Trent. You know, Iowa State at Oklahoma on the 26th and next to last game, and I just think the Texas game in Ames is just going to be wild. I really look at it. I mean, to me, those are the Iowa State and Oklahoma. Really, I think are the class of that conference. And Texas, we don't know. You mentioned TCU could be good. Oklahoma State could be good. But I'm just going to go with the very top. And it's kind of chalk, but I'm going to go Iowa State, their game in Norman, and hosting the Longhorns in Ames. I just think that's got a chance to be a wild game.
It's going to be a wonderful October, no doubt, for the Clones. I'm with you guys on the Oklahoma, Iowa State at Oklahoma. I put Bedlam on my list just because what it could mean if indeed Oklahoma does make a run for it after that. We know they're making a run for it. It's just when they're going to start the race. Bedlam's going to be bonkers. The game is in Stillwater. There's going to be hate like you wouldn't believe. So I will take Bedlam for my second Big 12 game. To the Big 10, Bama, will start with you. See what I'm doing, Trent?
I'm saving it.
The ACC. Yeah. Bama, your favorite two games in the Big 10 are what?
You know, well, first of all, damn you, Kim Miller, for only allowing me to pick two. I mean, I'm looking at these helmet schedules, and I can pick five out of each one of these conferences.
I'm with you.
very easily. But look, I want to go right out of the chute, week one, Penn State at Wisconsin. We talked about that game earlier. I mean, just Penn State's got a really tough. No, the schedule makers did not do them any favors. They go to Wisconsin. They go to Iowa, you know, out of the West. So if they're going to challenge at all, Ohio State, which I'm not sure they can, it's a huge game for them. I mean, they almost have to win this right out of the chute. The other one, you know, look, I can't put Michigan in there.
I'm with you.
Michigan to me is just boring. And until they do something and get that fixed, I just can't put them in there. I'm going to go November 23rd, Ohio State at Indiana. I just think I don't know how good Indiana's going to be this year. They had a great year last year. I don't know how much you can make of it. They're going to have some challenges before. They got to go to Iowa week one. They got to go to Penn State in October. They got Cincinnati on the schedule, which is a tough game. So they could be 3-3 by the time this rolls around. I just think no matter what their record is, I think this is – excuse me, I think this really could be a challenge for Ohio State, and I don't think they're really going to be challenged much. The opener at Minnesota, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they have Oregon, but I like that game in Bloomington on October 23rd.
That's a good one, Bama. That's a good one. How about you, Trent?
I'm with Bama. I'm going week one, and then I'm going to finish up with the final week of the season. I know the game very well could stink. It might be 62-13. Maybe it's Harbaugh's
tradition,
swan song.
Yeah.
I'm watching Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
I love the game. Just too much built into me as a Midwest guy. I can't go away from it. So for
too much brand.
Yeah. It's too right. important. And boy, what if it turns out to be a great game?
Yeah.
You're watching.
Well, I hope it does. I'm with you. I didn't include it for the reason that Michigan stinks, but I'm with you, Trent, the tradition and those two programs, but it's not on my list. I've got Penn State and Iowa just because I love this game year after year after year. It's when they do get to play each other, and they get to do again this year. And then I'm going to go way, 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 way off the board. All the way to next week. Nebraska-Illinois is huge. It's huge for Nebraska.
I agree.
It's massive for the Huskers. I get the NCAA investigation. It's going to be a slap in the wrist, but it's a distraction.
A slap in the wrist in 2027.
Right. When Scott Frost is long gone from there. Or they've built a statue at that point. Who knows which way it's going to go. I think the former. But anyways. But I'm going to put Nebraska-Illinois
on the
list.
Under on statues, by the way.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so I'm off the board there. Now let's go do the ACC just because we have to. Guys, when I was going through this, I struggled.
You did?
I did. I mean, I'm not going to include Clemson.
I got a couple.
All right, lay them on me. Bama, you go.
Well, I want to go, late October. Clemson and NC State. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how good NC State's going to be. And look, who's really going to challenge Clemson? I don't think Florida State's ready to do it, again, we just went conference games here. Yep. Obviously, they open with Georgia. That's massive nationally. But just if you're just going to stay in conference, who's really going to challenge them? I mean, and especially on the road. I mean, Syracuse, they got to go to Syracuse. I don't think that's going to be trouble. At Pitt, not going to be trouble. Don't see Louisville being trouble. I mean, this could be the only game really that, maybe they're less than a 17-point road favorite. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I like that game. And then I'm going October 16th, Miami at North Carolina. I think that's got a chance. If De'Eric King can survive the opening week against Alabama, I mean, I just think I don't know how good North Carolina is going to be. I think they're going to be really good. Can they challenge Clemson? I don't know. I think they're certainly the favorite, in my opinion, in the Coastal. And I think those two teams are probably the best two teams in that division. And I think that game really could go along. Neither one of them play Clemson, I don't think, in the regular season. I'm looking at it here. I don't see it. So that game really could be for the Coastal and a chance for that to play Clemson in the title game. So I'm going to go Hurricanes at Heels on October 16th.
All right, Trent.
Bama is one of the smartest people I know because our games are exactly right.
Are they?
It's, September, late September there, NC State, Dave Doran, the former Drake Bulldog, brings his Wolfpack in, taking on, bringing in Clemson in that one. And I think probably for a chance to play Clemson, Carolina against Miami. So, yeah, he's got them right.
Well, I went to the in-state battle at the end of the season, North Carolina and NC State. I used that one. And then I picked the helmet game, Miami and FSU.
Yeah.
But how about that story from Miami yesterday? That kid that was murdered in 2006, and finally, and do you know what precipitated this? Opening an investigation, an ESPN long form written investigation from 2019.
Jeez,
really? I mean, the writers in that piece essentially identified the suspect, and yesterday he was arrested, a teammate of his. Anyway, so Miami, Florida State for me, and NC State hosting North Carolina. Let's go to the SEC. Speaking of, can only two games, there's just so many, right? There's just so many damn games in this conference. I wanted to include a Tennessee night game because I want to get to I'm going to get to Knoxville one of these years, and I'm going to come. I'm going to arrive on a boat.
You're not.
I know I'm not.
You're not leaving Yankee.
No, I know. I know that. But I want to think that I'm going to get to Knoxville once, and if I do, I'm going to get there on a boat, and I'm going to stroll right into the stadium. All right, Trent, you go first. SEC, your two favorite games.
I'm going back to back weeks, and I'm going with Alabama in both of them. We start on October. What is it? October 2nd. Ole Miss, the Lane Train.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
I mean, my gosh.
They have Ole Miss has a bye week leading into it. Lane is going to be poking and prodding and saying things to piss Saban off. It's going to be great. It's going to be great theater, and that team can score.
Yeah.
That is, and then a week later, right after that game, Alabama has to go to A&M.
Wow.
Back to back weeks, October 2nd and 9th.
I was going to say that'll test most teams.
Mm-hmm. You'll test Alabama.
I like that. I like that. What about you, Bama?
Well, you know, look, talking about me. I didn't want to pick both Alabama games, but Trent is dead on with this October 2nd game, and Ole Miss is going to be fun to watch all year, I think, if they stay healthy. I didn't pick it. I picked the most important game, I think, in the West, and that's when they go to College Station, because A&M has to win this game. We were so close to the playoff last year, finished fifth. The only loss was to Alabama again. Saban has never been beaten by a former assistant, and that's going to be is that going to be challenged in October, like Trent just mentioned, back-to-back weeks. So I'm going to go Alabama at A&M with a big caveat of that October 2nd game. And then I just got to go chalk out of the East, Florida-Georgia cocktail party. Yep. Those are the only two teams really – I mean, you mentioned the problems at Kentucky, you know, brings a new meaning to guilty pleasure, I guess, Ken, for you.
Right.
With all those arrests.
I do love that squad for whatever reason.
Yeah. Florida, Georgia, I don't see anybody else in the East. I'm not saying neither one of those teams will lose a game because, you know, Florida has to host Alabama week three. And again, I don't want to make it all about Alabama, but how about a 4-week schedule at Florida? Home to Ole Miss at A&M. That'll test anybody. If they get through that, I think they're going to run the table. But I'm just going to go chalk out of the East with Florida, Georgia, and then what I think, again, most important game in the West, Alabama at A&M. But, man, Ole Miss is going to be appointment television.
Yeah, it is. And I almost took the Egg Bowl, and if it would have been in Oxford this year, I probably would have, but the game's in Starkville. And so I went away from it. Bam, I'm with you. I went Florida, Georgia, but the other game on the list, and it's not probably going to be very good this year, but it's been so damn good for so many years. Is LSU in Alabama. It's usually the CBS picks it up at night and parks it at 7 o'clock or 6:30. It's usually so incredibly good. I hope it is. I hope it's good this year, but I love that game. Fellas, we got to move. Let's go to the Pac-12. Trent, fire away.
Got both championship games to get to the championship game. For the South, Utah at USC, and for the North, Oregon at Washington.
Okay, Bama?
I got the same games. They're actually on the same week, November 11th. I'm going Oregon at Washington out of the North.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking USC at Arizona State out of the South. Mm-hmm. I think that game's going to be, I think Arizona State's an exciting team.
I do too.
USC, I mean, listen, USC's got a test right out of the chute with San Jose State. I mean, if they better be getting ready for that, because I think the Spartans could be legit. They were last year. I think they could be again this year. But I'm just again, I like Trent's games. I just think that USC and Arizona State game, if Arizona State's as good as we think they are, that game could be really important. UCLA to me is the wild card in that conference. They got a lot of really important games at Washington, everything like that. Just don't know how good they are. So I'm going to go Trojans at Sun Devils.
Herm Edwards has a quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player. All right, I'm with you. It's a consensus, Oregon and Washington. I'm surprised, Condon. We love this game. This is a uniform game. This is a jersey game.
Oh, USC, UCLA?
Yes. Yeah. Now, I wish it was at the Rose Bowl. They should play it there every year.
USC disagrees with
that. Yeah, I know they do. Maybe they have, maybe in the odd years they should take it to SoFi. I don't know. Maybe the Coliseum's fine.
But, yeah, it's fine. And when it's packed, it's good.
But give me UCLA and USC. All right, group of five. And since I'm the commissioner for this, you get to change the rules. Right?
Okay.
I get to change the rule. You can put an independent in for one of your games in here.
No.
Come on, give me Army-Navy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll give you that.
Right?
That's an automatic.
I mean, Bama, you're watching that. I mean, I know you are.
Every year. Absolutely. Army Navy is default, but I didn't.
All right, so we can't include that then. Army Navy's up, but we're all three watching it. All right, give me two group of five games, Bama. You go first.
I'm going to go UCF at Cincinnati, October 16th.
Yep.
Cincinnati's got. I mean, look at Indiana, at Notre Dame. They're the team everybody's talking about, and I think Gus Malzahn's going to have Central Florida ready and locked and loaded.
Yep.
I think they're going to be really good this year. They're going to be entertaining. They're going to be hard to stop. So I'm going to go, Golden Knights at Bearcats on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my other ones, it was really hard to pick out of the other one. I wanted to go in the Sun Belt, App State, Louisiana. I didn't. I'm going to go Mountain West, San Jose State at Nevada, because I think that game is going to be the winner out of that game is going to probably play Boise in the championship game.
All right, Trent.
I got a Sun Belt game for you.
Me too.
Along with the UCF game. Appy State hosting Coastal Carolina. It's October 20th. That will decide the East Division crown, the team that more than likely will get to play the Raging Cajuns in the Sun Belt title game.
We've got the same games, Trent. I'm with you. UCF, Cincinnati. All three of us are on that one. And I went to Belt, Coastal Carolina, and Appy State. Notre Army Navy as well. Hey,
Navy is a given.
Oh my God,
that's a given every year.
And I mean, it
doesn't get any better.
It's the Meadowlands this year.
Oh, is it?
I think
it is the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's at the Meadowlands. Bama, next time, next week, we'll have games to talk about. Not a lot of them, but at some point, probably prior to that, we've got to go on record.
Well, one of the most two important games in the Big Ten is played next Saturday, according to Ken Miller.
Yes, it is.
We got to break that one down, right?
We will, and we'll go on record, and we'll pick the winner of all five of the Power Five conferences, maybe a national championship. We'll do that prior to looking at the limited slate of games. One of them, of course, being Illinois hosting the Huskers. Bama, have a good final weekend without football, if you can. We will have football next week, and we'll talk to you a week from today. Thanks, pal.
Look forward to it. Fun stuff, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Thank you. Bama Bob, Trent and I going around college football. Bama will be with us every Friday and Monday throughout the college football season. Mitch Holt is on tape next. He's in Arizona, but he will give us his daily Chiefs training camp report on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and
1-3-FM.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. 5 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, Mitch Holtis is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He joins us every day during the month of August. Papa John's sponsors. He's not live today. He's on tape, and here it is.
The Chiefs are back at it tonight with preseason game number 2. I'm here in Glendale, Arizona, as the Chiefs take on the Arizona Cardinals. Here's your priority list for tonight's game. First of all, Coach Reid, even with one less preseason game in this 2021 schedule, he is treating this game and next week's third preseason game like years past. Who can argue? Coach Reid is 20-5 in September as the Chiefs head coach. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. 1. Hearkening back to yesterday's report, it would be nice for rookie tight end Noah Gray tonight to bounce back against a good Arizona defense. Secondly, keep your ears and eyes peeled on wide receiver number 82, Darice Fountain, out of the University of Northern Iowa, had some time with the Colts. He's really coming on in camp and pushing to make the team. He's right at the cut line. He wears, again, number 82. Third, defensive cornerback, other than the base starters, Javarius Ward and Lajarius Sneed, The rest of the guys are under a microscope. The specific corners in question are former Viking first-round pick number 21, Mike Hughes. Number 27, third-year corner Rashad Fenton. Former New York Giants first-round pick number 30, DeAndre Baker. And the safeties also, after Dan Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu, are looking to improve. That list includes number 22, veteran Juan Thornhill, an undrafted rookie free agent, number 24, Devin Key, who gave up an 80-yard touchdown pass against the 49ers. Finally, another white-hot battle is the race for the third running back job behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams. It's neck and neck between veteran and former Minnesota Viking and 49er Jerick McKinnon and third-year Chiefs running back Darwin Thompson. Tonight could be big to determine who wins that job, and both will be evaluated, not only on running and receiving, but pass blocking and special teams. Five more cuts loom and must be made by Tuesday, so the tension builds. Tonight, Chiefs and Cardinals. Patrick Mahomes gets reacquainted with his old college head coach Cliff Kingsbury. They were both together at Texas Tech. Reporting from Glendale, Arizona, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs.
And Papa John's in Central Iowa sponsors Mitch Holtis each and every day with us in the month of August. He'll be back with us live on Monday at about 10:50 to recap that game and look ahead to the week. You know, he mentioned Daniel Sorensen. I have no idea how the guy's been in the league 8 years. When he first got, broke in, here's a guy's gonna, he's not going to make it till the end of the season, let alone a whole bunch more. He's gotten better with age, I think.
He has. He's improved, and he's a guy,
smart.
Though, that seemingly every year they're trying to find his replacement.
Yes.
And it just never comes.
Yeah, he's smart. He takes the right angles, might not be the fastest guy in his position, but between the years, now He makes plays.
Did you see yesterday I've tweeted out all the local teams when they play?
You know what, Trent? I almost followed our Twitter account for that very reason. Miller and Condon is going to earn one of the coveted follows.
I hope so.
Starts
tonight.
I think I'm at 199.
199. A lucky 200 at Miller and Condon.
Yeah, maybe.
Chiefs at Arizona. That's ESPN 206 on your DirecTV dial. Saturday noon. The Bills and the Bears, that'll be on WHO 13. 325 Jets at Green Bay. Have to go to the Overflow channel there. That's 8.3 KCCI. And 7 o'clock Saturday night, the Vikings against the Colts on big KCCI CBS.
Yeah, sounds like a weekend worth of plans to me. I'm glad you, Trent. Look at it. Miller and Condon is a full-service Twitter account. Follow us at Miller and Condon. Tom Cakert kicks off hour number two. Dave Sproul will follow. And then we'll give four listeners an opportunity to win some barbecue from Claxons. You cannot have played. Whether you won or not, you can't have played in the last month. If you haven't, you'll be eligible at about 11:45 to do just that. We're with you until noon on 1460 AM and 106.3 FM.